this portion of the James study is so controversial, especially to the Martin Luther, because he is, as a spearhead of Reformation, he believed that we are only saved by faith in Christ Jesus, nothing else, no other work, no nothing. Faith plus anything equals zero. You remember the formula I made before? No marker? That's fine.
I'll get it.
It's okay. Don't sit down, please. Faith plus work equals nothing. Or you can say faith plus anything, anything from human equals nothing. That means no salvation. However, faith plus nothing equals salvation. That's the concept, which is very true. Because he came from the Roman Catholic background where that you have to do this, you have to do that, ritual things. If you do this kind of thing, you're out the door. Not only that, they sell the indulgence. Well, why don't you just buy confession this much and you can sin this much and then you're still hunky-dory? Not. So that, to him, this is absolutely mind-boggling when he read the book of James, and especially chapter 2, latter portion, the faith without the work is a dead. No, this can't be true. So he insists that it should not be included in the Bible. However, after he read and after recommendation from his colleague, and he said, okay, you can put in it right before appendix. In other words, not real book. Because he's coming from Romans chapter 2:13 through 5:1, and Galatians chapter 2-3, he finds righteousness and justified, he finds 22 times. There's no other way we are being justified other than blood of Jesus Christ, which is absolutely true. Let's go to Romans. By the way, where's K? No kidding. I figured out that much.
She didn't want to bring the herd with her. Well, my mother and father in
law down. Oh.
They came in this afternoon and so the house is packed.
That's
cool. We're sending her a message.
Okay. Romans 3:23. But now, Romans 3:23. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, through the faith in Christ Jesus to all and on all who believes. For there is no difference. excuse me. For there is no difference, for all who have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified, there is the word justified, freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood, try to pronounce that thing real fast, through the faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sin that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and justifiers of the one who has faith in Jesus. See, this portion really, we try to pronounce that the propitiation. Yeah, whatever. What does it mean? It means appease. It means satisfied. It satisfies the requirement of God. He would not lower His standard. He would not lower the way we should arrive. So He became a bridge between man and God. Jesus became a little bridge to make a way for us to get there. I have no doubt for one second there's no other way to get to heaven other than through Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus Christ. There's no other way, absolutely not. And if I have a doubt, I wouldn't believe John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. And you heard this, and probably you will hear more. There is no plan B. So what does it mean? James saying that we are going to learn that. Is he going against Apostle Paul and against Jesus? Jesus who just said, there's no other way. And Apostle Paul says, we all have sinned. We need a justifier. We need the one who redeemed our sin. But James is talking about the faith without deed is dead. No, actually, this is one of those things walking hand in hand and back to back, shoulder to shoulder. It's not an enemy against each other, but they are comrades in arms. They work together. They work together against the common enemy, Satan. In other words, the good work is the evidence of our faith. Let me repeat it. This is one of those things that I'm going to repeat throughout the entire Bible study tonight. The work we do is the evidence of our faith. How do we know we are really born again? I'm not talking about other people. I'm talking about my faith. I'm talking about your own faith. You're the one who's going to judge. If I do good work in Christ Jesus, time after time, that's the evidence. And that shows, in other words, we can express is we find in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22-23. What are they? What is it? The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And then explains joy, peace, kindness, goodness, blah, 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 all of that go all the way down to the self-control. Right? That is fruit. While we're doing that kind of thing, we realize that's the evidence of our faith in Christ Jesus. So we're starting with the genuine faith and the salvation faith. Before we go there, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Martin Luther, the champion of doctrine of salvation through faith alone, said that this is the deed of faith without deed is dead. And he said it is not right. But we realize when we read in context what you're trying to tell us, the evidence shows the faith. Don't let us just go on with another Bible knowledge, but let us do what we learn. Not just be a hearer, but let us be a doer in Christ Jesus. We pray. Amen. Now, we find there's four kinds of faith. Number one, we find in verse 19, is demonic faith. In verse 20, we find useless faith. In verse 26, we find dead faith. And the true faith backed by our good deed, we find in verse 21 through 25. So there is a four kinds of faith. First one is demonic faith, and the second one is useless faith, and the third one is a dead faith, and the last one is a true faith. So we're going to go each one of them systematically. See, this is... When James is talking about faith, he's not talking about salvation faith. Do you know there's more than one faith? Do you agree with that? We believe Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven. That's a salvation faith. And do we believe God is the one true God? Yes. Do we believe God made heaven and earth with a command? That's a faith. By the way, Bible is not a buffet table. Okay? You don't pick and choose. I don't pick and choose. Either you take the from cover to cover, whole thing, or we don't take it at all. Cult does not exclude Bible. Cult includes the Bible into their doctrine. So pure become no longer pure, holy become no longer holy, because they add something else. we find a genuine faith will produce good deed, and but only faith in Christ Jesus saves. Let me repeat. Genuine faith will produce good deed, but only the faith in Jesus Christ will save us. We'll start from verse 14 of chapter 2. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has a faith but does not have a works? Can faith save him? If brothers and or sisters are naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things that which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith itself, if it does not have works, is dead. We can find the same kind of example from the 1 John. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3, please. That's a page 2145. Does it help? All right, verse 17 of chapter 3. 1 John. But whoever has this world's goods and sees brothers in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Remember last week we talked about there's two royal laws. What are they?
Love God, love your neighbors.
Very good. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And second one is, love your neighbor as yourself. If we love our neighbor as ourselves, would we help them? You can bet on it. And would that become a good deed in Christ Jesus? Yes. So that's evidence. Genuine faith produces good deed in Christ. See, in America, I heard some people say 85%, some people 85%, some people say 90%, claim to be a Christian. And I have a friend at work who is a devout Mormon. Somebody said there's such a thing as a Jack Mormon. Do you know what that is? Claim to be Mormon and not really Mormon. So should we call somebody the Jack Christian? I don't know. Never heard that thing before. Anyway, this guy is not Jack Mormon. He is a devout. And he think he is a Christian. He really believed that he and I have the same faith. So I said, no, we don't. His Christ is different than my Christ. His Christ is a demonic Christ. Same thing with the New Age people. They believe Jesus Christ, but it's just another one of those gods. And Mormons believe that Jesus Christ is a brother of Lucifer. So is it the same? No. My Jesus Christ and your Jesus Christ is God himself and second in command. So just because somebody is baptized in the church, just because somebody came to the Bible study, that doesn't mean they are Christian, is it? It has nothing to do with what we go through or things we do, but it has everything to do with the faith in Jesus. Let's say I have a great faith that I can fly. So I go up to the tallest building, Citibank in downtown, and jump off the building without parachute, and you will look at me and you wouldn't say, oh, poor, he has such a wonderful faith. You will look at me like an idiot. He's going to flap and smack that and on the floor and the pavement and splat. Like somebody said, just because somebody going to the auto repair shop, that person become a car or auto mechanic, or just because somebody going to the donor shop, that person doesn't become a cop. See, or bagel store nowadays. It used to be the coffee and the donut. Now they upgrade themselves to cappuccino and bagels. modern day cup, I guess. See, just because we hang around somewhere, that doesn't mean, that doesn't guarantee that we become somebody else. That was the kind of faith a lot of people had in America. Remember 1990, during the Desert Shield, and that turned into Desert Storm. And we are about to, 13 years later, now we're about to face that. And I hope that you guys pray for our military people and our country president and the leadership. We are facing at the blink of war, and a lot of people start to flock into the church. That happens time after time. Whenever people go through a tough time, they grab God. Just like 9/11. They grab God, but that doesn't last long. Why? Because they do not have a genuine faith. True faith, true living faith in Christ will bring good fruit indeed in our behavior. False and dead faith will not bring any good fruit. I can fool you guys. If I want to, I can lift my hands during the worship and close my eyes, roll on my feet on the ball and say something spiritual. And I can be still carnal inside. I can carry the tattered of the Bible. Have you ever seen some people's Bible that look like it went through the little hell? Every piece is just taped together. And one prison inmate told me once, yeah, I prefer that kind of Bible because somebody might think that I'm spiritual. So, well, at least he admitted that he's not a spiritual. He wants other people to think that they're spiritual. Don't think that we don't do that. In carnal side, we want other people to think that we are spiritual. John 14:15, please. John 14:15. We all want the other people to think that we are spiritual, and we all want other people to think that we have a great faith in God. If we are true follower of Jesus Christ, we will produce the good deed in Christ. John 14:15 says, "If you love me," would say, "keep my commandment." What's the commandment? We go back to the two royal laws. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbors. See, in my office, there are about 70, close to 80 people. They know as a Bible thumper. They know me as a Bible thumper. Not because I walk around and pound people's head with the Bible. When I was a brand new born-again Christian, and I used to do that to the people the copying machine technician used to come to my home to fix my copying machine, and I started to preach to them. And they got so sick and tired of it, they had to draw the straw to who's going to come to this idiot's home. Anyway, I don't do that anymore. I just wait for the time. I guess I'm learning not to do that kind of thing. Not because I'm ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I know that when the Holy Spirit opened the door. If Holy Spirit doesn't open the door, I have to kick the door down, and that result is usually negative. They see me studying. They see me not swearing. They see me not cussing. They see me not participating in their jokes. And they see me when I'm down and out, I don't act crazy. See, my actions speak louder than my word of testimony. Somebody said, if you want to find that person's faith, let him hit his thumb with his hammer. See what happened. If you come up with some funny word, that person has a shallow problem. Ladies and gentlemen, let me make a very clear to you and myself. The measurement spirituality cannot be measured with somebody, but our spiritual maturity can be measured behind the closed door. When nobody sees us. When the husband doesn't see you, when your wife doesn't see you, when your kid doesn't see you, when nobody's around, when we are all alone, no other one other than God, how we act, that shows maturity of our spirituality. Let's examine a few things by looking at the Colossians 1:10, please. Colossians 1:10 is Colossians is right after Philippians 1:10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in knowledge of God. How are we going to be mature in the Lord? One of the quickest way is studying the Word. Daily devotion. Which one should I recommend to you guys? Should I ask for the 15 minutes of daily devotion? Or should I ask for 4 hours a month? Once a month, 4 hours Bible study. I'd rather you to study and have a devotion 15 minutes a day, every day, like a clockwork. And I'd rather you to do that than 40 hours of Bible study once a month. If we do 40 hours of Bible study once a month, what are we doing between the times? What are we filling our heart with? Huh? So, meanwhile, our hearts are starving to death. Let's put it in the physical realm. Would you rather eat 3 times a day, regularly, or twice a day? Some people eat twice a day. Pam eats once a day. She eats like a bird. Tiny amount. I'm going to be killed after this. You know that. Now, would you rather eat regularly or would you rather eat once in a blue moon, devouring the food and not eating for a long time? That's not good for your physical body, right? Then why do we do that kind of thing on the spiritual body? Consistent diet with the Word of God is very important in our spiritual walk with Christ. Galatians 6:10, please. A couple books before the Colossians. Philippians, Ephesians, Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, not particular people, not those who are lovable, to all, especially those who are of household faith. That means I have to be nice to Jack. That's a challenge. And Jack has to be nice to me. That's more challenge. So we have to love one another as Christ has loved us. Let's go back to the James chapter 2, verse 18. But someone will say, you have a faith, but I have a work. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. James denied the possibility of this and walked the walk, talked the talk, simple concept. Now, let's take a look at the demonic faith. Verse 19, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. You know, this is a really kicker. In my opinion, James has a great sense of humor, especially to the modern-day American people. They say, well, I believe in God. Have you ever all heard that before? Yeah, I believe in God, but I don't go to church. I don't believe that there's only one way to get to heaven. Any of you guys heard that story before? Yeah, I have many times. I met this guy from the Lenscrafter and he said, yeah, I'm a believer too. Oh, yeah? Are there so? I believe that there is a God. Yeah, demons believe and they actually tremble. You don't, because you're too ignorant. Do you know agnostic? Have you ever heard the word agnostic? You know what the word agnostic coming from? Ignorama. Ignorama in translation, direct translation to English is ignorant. When so somebody said I'm an agnostic, they say I'm an ignorant, I'm a fool. That's what they meant. They're saying that I don't know God, and I don't want to know God. And the psalm says that fool says there is no God. See, person can have all the knowledge. Was it Janice or somebody asked for a prayer last week for the minister? Was the Marianne you? And that minister is not saved. Does that person have a Bible knowledge? Probably yes. And the Pima Community College religion professor, does he know the Bible? You can bet on it, he knows the Bible. But is he saved? No, he's not. As far as I know, he's not saved because he doesn't see that Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. Let's go to the book of Luke chapter 6, please. Luke chapter 6. Verse 34. Did I say 6? Sorry, six. Chapter 4. Chapter 4, 34. I lied. Just once. That's right. Chapter 4, 34, saying, let us go alone. This is demon speaking. What have we done with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, Holy One of God. Demons know who Jesus is, and they tremble. But people who do not believe Jesus Christ on the face of earth, they don't care. Because they don't even know the identity of Jesus Christ. So that's the demonic face. They said, well, we know, but we are not going to believe. Another one, verse 20, we find in James chapter 2, is useless face. It says, but do you want to know a foolish man? Underline foolish, please. This is a rather interesting word. That faith without work is dead. I ask you, the foolish word is a kenos, K-E-N-O-S, that's in Greek word, is in other words, it means empty. Have you ever called somebody empty head? Airhead? Nothing inside? My mama used to tell me that there's nothing between my ears. Jack will agree with that fast. James is not contradicting against Paul in Romans 4, 1 through 5 and Galatians 3, as I said before. He is telling us that how the saved person proved that his salvation before others with his own life. And he cannot tell people that his faith is a true faith when there's nothing to show for. You follow me? If that person is doing the cussing and the drinking and booze, you know, hanging around with just about any kinds of the cultish people and jumping into bed with just about any kind of different type of people, and how can you believe that that person is truly saved? Because the action does not bring the faith. Being a Christian is not the matter of what we say, but how we act. Eventually boiling down to how we act. If we believe Christ Jesus, we will act differently. We'll be different. We'll become salt and light in this world. Jesus said, if the salt no longer have a salt, then it's better to be trampled down, thrown into the street and trampled down. Let's go back to the verse 22 of James. 21. Now we're going to find true faith. Was not Abraham our father justified by works, and he offered Isaac his son on the altar? this verse and verse 25, we find that James is quoting two portions of the Old Testament scripture. This portion we can find from the Genesis, of course, Genesis 15:6, where the Abraham told by God to sacrifice his son. And also we're going to find about the Rahab in Hebrews, from Joshua. Let's go to the verse 22. Do you see the faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And scripture fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. We can find the exact same thing from the Hebrews 11:8 and through 12. How many guys got the treasury of knowledge? Okay. Do you use that thing?
I'm learning slowly.
It's a phenomenal book. If you don't have a computer, treasury scripture knowledge becomes handy. You look at the one verse and open up the treasury scripture knowledge, that particular verse, and it gives you cross-reference left and right. Average about 10 to 15 easily for one, from one. That's how you cross-reference and you become meet together. Old Testament is prophesying the New Testament is filling the Old Testament. And this is a prime example. He's talking about, in the New Testament, he's talking about James, and the Genesis, and the Joshua. We go on. Abraham believed and he was accounted to him righteousness, and he was called friend of God. And we can find that verse in the 2 Chronicles 27, chapter 20, verse 7. You see that a man is justified by work, not by faith only. If we take this apart from the context, this can be called a cult. But when you read it in context, we find that faith brings, genuine faith brings the good deeds. All right, verse 20. Likewise was not the Rahab the harlot all justified by work. Now this work is not tradition. What we're talking about? When she received the messengers and sent them out of another way. When she believed that the Jehovah God is one true God, she rather helped the people from the Jehovah God side than the whole own people. And we find that almost same content in Hebrew, which a lot of Bible scholars, Bible students believe they written by Apostle Paul. We find chapter 11, verse 31. And that says, when to turn the eye, just read it to you. By faith, the hallowed Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when he had lived the spies with peace. Now, let's find one more kind of faith in verse 26 of James. For as the body without the spirit is dead, think about that version and underline. For the body without the spirit is dead. So the faith of works is also dead also. How many of you guys are thinking about someday people is going to make clone the human? How many of you guys believe that? I believe it. People's technology is tremendous. They will do it eventually. But would that become human? No. Why? Very good. In my opinion, making another human is modern day Tower of Babel. God will put the stop to it. But they might be able to make bones and muscle and skin, but they will not be to generate spirit. Yes? I don't think so. The demonic spirit cannot occupy or can have body, dead body. It's dead body. The person, the body is working because spirit is alive. As soon as the spirit leaves, this is more than the butchered meat in the freezer. The difference between life and death is the spirit is with the body, the spirit is without body. So if they can clone the body, that's the body without the spirit. So it's still dead. Yes?
Aren't we dead in spirit when we accept Jesus?
Yes and no. Yes, we are dead in spirit, spiritually dead, heading for hell. But that's a different meaning. When we are, body is dead without the spirit. Okay, the person who is dead is because the person does not no longer have a spirit in the body. Body, okay, let's try this real carefully. The person die, the person's spirit leave the body. The spirit, when you said before Christ, that was a dead spirit, but when the Christ, Jesus Christ come into our life, become alive. Yes, you're talking about two different deaths. One is spiritual, another one is the physical death. You follow me?
Well, I just don't understand when we're alive and we haven't accepted Jesus.
That's the dead spirit.
That's dead spirit.
Correct.
But I have a spirit in me now.
But you have a live body.
Yeah, but something that's made by artificially doesn't have any dead spirit.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Completely no spirit. Okay, let's not say dead for the cologne, no spirit at all.
Yeah,
there's not a exist of spirit at all.
But before I accept it, I do have spirit that's dead.
Yes. We have a spirit, but that spirit isn't dead.
Yeah.
Because there's an, yes.
Before we become Christians, I mean, we're on that line, not understanding, we're trying to get to know. Isn't the spirit working in us to help us get to know?
Yes.
Spirit
is dead. Well, when we Bible, spirit is dead. It's not. We have a spirit, but there is a dead stage.
What would we say? Dormant. Yeah.
Dormant. Yeah. It's like a.
Well, could I interject?
Yes.
We are trying to create in God's image. We are a body, a physical body.
Right.
And we have a mind. And then we have a spirit.
Right.
And until that point, we have the free will.
Right, but the spirit's still working on
us. It's still is talking and moving in ourselves and in other people's
minds. Let's put it this way. We have a, when you guys home, you find a cat, and unfortunately the cat came back with my daughter. Don't. Yeah, Michelle, yes. My daughter, yes. Not the cat. Yeah. Anyway, that cat is alive, has a mind of its own. Trust me, that have thing has a mind of its own, but does not have a spirit.
It's an animal.
And can go around and think by itself? Yes. In a way, before we came to the Christ, we were kind of like that. Yes, we have a mind of ours, just like Connie said. We can the way we want, however, we can even do come up with a tremendous scientific development, but yet our spirit is numb or not awakened. I don't know how what kind of word proper to use. And the Holy Spirit, okay, we have time to be alive now in Christ. And that's, see, that I think that goes all the way back to the Genesis, because our disobedience of human against God's word, so our spirit. See, when the fruit, the forbidden fruit, is not, it said, knowledge of good and bad. And that when we, this, and Adam this become disobedient to God, the result is the death, not in physical body. They were very much alive, but this become death. Okay? Let's go to 26 one more time. Yeah, somebody was going to ask.
Well, couldn't a clone human be similar to a person who was not saved or hadn't born again? Wouldn't they be like a person walking around?
I mean, they didn't have any kind of body. The clone, they can make a body, but the
but
human cannot generate the spirit. There's only one can generate spirit. That's God.
So
okay.
They would be like an unsaved person, but has no potential.
No spirit.
An animal.
Yeah, I mean that. I not even an animal. I don't think that person can have any mind of its own. In my opinion, I could be wrong, But in my opinion, that person does not even alive, and they can have a heartbeat, but it's a little animal and act like an animal. And that, can you imagine person with no conscience, no heart, and will just about anything the way he wants? That's a monster.
Got one, MRA.
All right. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without work is dead also. One more verse. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, please. He who says, "Know him," does not keep his commandment, is a liar. Bible pretty much says as it, just like it as it is. I mean, he does not compromise. The truth is not in him, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfect in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who say he abides in him ought himself also to work, walk just as he. Let's make a couple of applications. Number one, Christian life is not talk, but it's a walk. How are we going to walk on in Christ? As we have to make a choice to come to Christ, come to God through Jesus Christ, we have to make a choice for our good deeds each time. And that's evidence of genuine faith. Second thing, let's remember that our actions speak louder. Our action speaks louder than our word of testimony. We can say we are Christian. If our action follow, people will say, right. And it's more disgraceful to God than not claim to be a Christian. One time I said this to the prison inmate, if you are not going to act like Christian and you're going to act like an animal by cussing and using God's name in vain, and doing drugs and sex, please don't call yourself Christian, because I don't want to be associated with you. When I said that, some of the guys looked at me like, how can you say that? I just did. It's best not to claim to be Christian if you're not going to act like Christ. All right, I'll stop. Any questions?